Thank you for that song, choir. Amen. Finish this sentence for me. God is happy when we blank. When we pray. Good? What else? When we... Huh? When we love one another. Very good. God is happy when we... One more. When we are happy. Is that true? Does our happiness affect God's happiness? Ever since I had my own children, I've had many moments when... You can leave it down. Yeah. I had many moments when I would just have a rough day and dealing with church people. And not you guys. Then who? Anyway. And I would go home and just kind of, man, depressed, exhausted, and whatnot. And I would watch my kids just laughing and playing and just so happy. And I just forget my troubles. I'm so content and fulfilled just watching them. Now, when they're not happy, that's another story. Yesterday, I had one of those moments when it was just me and my boy, because my wife and daughter are on a weekend trip by themselves. And normally, I don't pick up the kids on Friday, but I picked up Joey yesterday. And recently, Joey's been really enjoying reading. We didn't realize he had vision problems, not eyesight problems, but vision. Words are jumping around, and he had a hard time focusing. And just after six sessions of vision therapy, he's now reading chapter books and being able to comprehend and just really enjoy. And yesterday afternoon, he was doing that. He was reading one of these fancy books now with the little letters and just laughing and giggling and just, you know, really into the story. And I was just looking at him for a while. I was just watching him when I should have been writing my sermon. I was just like looking at him, just so content. Usually on Fridays, I'm really stressed because I don't think I have anything worthwhile to say. I'm really insecure, as you know. And so I'm just really stressed about it. God, you know, is this? Can I say this? Will I be wasting people's time? But yesterday, for that moment of maybe 30 minutes, just watching my boy, I was just so happy. And I was wondering, is this... It felt like this is the meaning of life for me. To make sure my boy grows up happy. Is it just me, or are parents like that in general? I think if you were to ask me, what do you want most for your kids? Besides knowing Jesus, which, by the way, is the happiest way, is happiness. What do I want most for my kids? It just boils down to that thing. I want them to be happy and fulfilled in life. I'm not sure that our Heavenly Father is that much different. I think He's even more. I think He is ecstatic. I think He is full of joy when we are. And He can just watch us for hours, days, or years, or millenniums, just watching us playing and laughing and having fun. God is happy when we are happy. I know religion has really downplayed happiness and called it momentary and superficial. We have an alternative word for it. What is it? Joy. We promote joy at the cost of happiness. We say we have the joy of the Lord, but if you're not happy, no big deal. Maybe you shouldn't be. Because life is serious, you know. And you are sinful. And I'm not sure that you should be enjoying life with so much happiness when there is so much darkness within you. It's kind of inappropriate. You know, this is kind of how Christianity has been for centuries. Don't get me wrong. If you're just hearing me say this without the context, you might think that this is what I'm saying. This is what Christianity might have been saying, I think has been saying. Jesus suffered and died. You should take up your cross and follow him and suffer too. Wipe that smirk off your face. What are you so happy about? This is no laughing matter. This is serious. You know, Christians used to, in the Dark Ages, beat themselves with whips for their sinfulness. And pleasure was seen as evil. If you're enjoying life, evil. Evil, because it's kind of like, why would you go and party with your friends when your mother just died? Why would you do that? Stop it. Go to the funeral of your mother. This whole life is a funeral. You see what I'm saying? And hence, we come to church. Church, traditional church, is very much like that. What? It's not appropriate to jump up and down, certainly not. And no running in the sanctuary, children. What are you so happy about? Children are so happy. And I'm not promoting that, by the way, because I have some traditions still that I'm working on. You know, running is some sort of a sign of happiness. Have you seen the soccer players and what they do after they make the goal? They make a goal, and you would think that after running so much, because soccer players, they run a lot, they sprint, like throughout the whole game. You think after making a goal, they would just kind of plop down on the ground and, oh, okay, I'm glad I made a goal. No, they run faster. They make a goal, and they're not tired. What happens? Because they're happy. And happiness, running is an expression of happiness. Either that or they're trying to run away from their teammates who are going to clobber them because they're happy too. You know, that happens. You know, sometimes when I was playing basketball, and I would make a basket and someone would whack me on the head. I'm like, that was their sign of approval. Anyway, maybe that's what the soccer players do. Anyway, so running is a sign of happiness. Is it okay to express happiness in the sanctuary? Is it okay to be exuberant and be joyful? By the way, what is the difference between joy and happiness? There is no difference. We had to make something up. We had to have an excuse for not being happy and said, no, you're not happy, but you can still have joy. That's not possible. Because you know what? The dictionary says joy is a state of happiness, an emotion of happiness, an expression of happiness. True, you can still be happy and joyful when bad things are happening around you, yes. But let's not kid ourselves. Let's not excusing our unhappiness by saying that we don't have to be happy as long as we have joy. That's not possible because they're the same. Philippians 4:4 says this, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. Say it with me. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. Rejoice. But how can we rejoice when we're not happy? Rejoicing is a byproduct of the joy and happiness within. Now, it is possible that you can make effort to rejoice when you're not all that happy and in the process become happier. Yes. Right. But you cannot divorce the two. When you are rejoicing, happiness will come along, or you won't rejoice because you're happy. Maybe religion had to come up with an alternative to happiness because its culture was full of guilt, burden, and judgment, and happiness was in the brink of extinction. Jesus talked about the religious leaders in Matthew 23:11. They tie up heavy, cumbersome loads and put them on other people's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to lift a finger to move them. Jesus came to free people from such religion, to unburden them and give them happiness. But I wonder how the followers of Christ have fared over the centuries with this. Do we have the freedom in Christ? Or are we still scourging ourselves, beating our bodies to purge from our wickedness, which is never ending, by the way? Our sinfulness will continue, so you don't sell the whip. You will need it again. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength, but I don't have to be happy. I hope that the point is clear today, that we should be, it's not just okay to be happy, but it's wonderful and good, and that it makes God happy too. I'm glad that Christianity has kind of moved away from this, and it's at least okay to smile to one another now. It wasn't 300 years ago, maybe 100 years ago. But if you see somebody in church and you smile and you're excited, that's okay now. But I wonder if we still have some remnants of the past. I know not all traditions are bad, but this one is. The idea that it's okay not to be happy, that we don't have to pursue happiness because we have the joy of the Lord, doesn't make any sense. So, a couple of things I want to say about this. One is, let's become more intentional about being happy. Let's not just say, if it comes, it comes. Let's be proactive about having a fulfilled life. Jesus says, I have come that you may have life and have it abundantly. I think we cannot truly rejoice in the Lord until we are happy with life, despite the circumstances. And so rather than dismissing it like the past of Christianity, or even ignoring it in the present, let's make it something important in our lives. Let's be happy. All right, so how? How do we become happy? That's the last part. What can we do to become happier? Do you know what to do? Let's talk about it for a minute. Tell me. I don't have a microphone here. Yes, I do. I'll ask the choir today. What can you do to be happy? Teresa?
Studies have shown that acts of service increase our own happiness.
Really? Studies, those are just studies. Acts of service, acts of kindness, loving our fellow humans, make us happy? Really? All right. What else? Deborah?
We can't be happy unless we're grateful for what we have.
Gratitude, really? Gratitude helps? What if you have nothing to be grateful for? That's not possible. At least you are alive. At least God loves you. What else? How can we be happier? We've heard gratitude and loving other people through kindness and service. Relationship with Jesus Christ. That makes you happy? Well, explain to me about all the people that claim to have the relationship with Jesus Christ, but they're not really rejoicing in the Lord. How does that make sense? They don't really have the relationship. Do you know which country is the happiest country in the world? Statistically. Take a wild guess. Not America, no. Sweden, Norway, close. Denmark. That's what the survey says anyway. Why is Denmark the happiest country in the world? What do the secular scientists say? What are their reasons that they give? They live in tiny flats. That's what they call them, apartments. I mean, they're not... You don't know what tiny is because you think your 700 square foot one-bedroom apartment is tiny. These people have like 8 people living in a place like that. They live in tiny places and they're happier than we are. We have like mansions. They are not so consumed by consumerism. And rather, community life is very important to them. They actually know their neighbors in that country, and they have dinners together periodically. They have communes, that sounds kind of weird, where it's like group homes where families will live in this building, and none of the families have kitchens of their own because they always eat in the cafeteria together. They have places like this everywhere. And their goal is not to have a single family dwelling of their own. That's not the culture there, like it is here. This is the American dream. White picket fence. My own house. They have no fences there, figuratively speaking. And I wonder if, well, the researchers are saying that's the primary reason why they're so happy. There are countries, third world countries, that are happier than America. In the statistics, yes. They're dying of hunger, but they're happier than we are. Why? They live in communities. At least they know that if they die, it's not the police that will find them 3 days later, which is a common news around here. Community. This is the reason for the church. Why did God give us church when we can worship God alone? Why? Because we are happier when we are together. We're supposed to be anyway. Because we are created as relational beings. Because support and love shared among a group of people is wonderful. In the near future, you're going to have an opportunity to join a close-knit community within the Vallejo Drive Church. If you're not in one right now, you're going to have official invitations to join groups of people to have communities that are closer not just in physical proximity, but in life. I hope that you think about this. I hope that this is something that you begin to think about. If you don't have people to call when you move, so you call the moving company, I wonder if there are successful moving truck companies in Denmark. Because they have so many friends that'll just come and help them. I'd like us to be like that. If not in this culture, at least in this church. I want to become happier people. One last thing about a way to happiness. There is a misconception about what happiness, where happiness comes from. And we have been told as a society that it's because of the circumstances we are in. It's because we don't have enough money. It's because we are not as beautiful. It's because we're lonely. It's because, well, that's true, but it's because we don't have, because we're not married, because we don't have whatever. The circumstances of life, we don't have we didn't get the promotion. The findings, again, this is scientific studies done. According to psychologist Sonia Lubomirsky, it says that 50% of one's happiness is predetermined. It's due to genetic disposition. They call it a genetic set point or range. So 50% of the reason that you're depressed is genetic. That's what they say. But that's not, at least it's not 100%. You still have 50% to work with, all right? So, and even, you know, not all of us are filling the 50% tank completely. I think most of us are maybe 10% predisposed or 25% if you're really bad. But 50% of that comes from maybe your mother is happy, but your dad is not, so you have 25% of your happiness, unhappiness already filled. But what about circumstances? How much do they affect our happiness? Only 10%. That is the scientific findings. Only 10% can affect your happiness. No matter what you try to do to change the external circumstances of your life, that'll only help 10%. And yet we live as if that will change everything. So here is the good news. The 40% of the fuel for happiness is unaccounted for. Yeah. This is a part where we can become proactive about becoming happy. Your decisions to fill this 40% can help you become happier. You can tailor make intentionally to make a difference in your own life and hence in the life of your God. God will be happy when you're happy. In conclusion, I want to show you some pictures I got in the email from someone here. Thank you, Barry. Here's some things that's already mentioned. A way that this is a picture of a guy walking for the choir, I'm explaining, on the sand at the beach, and he takes off his flip-flops to give to a homeless. There's a Subway sign that's free meal for the homeless every Friday, 3 to 5 p.m. Here's an owner of Subway that decided that he will be intentional about doing something in his life. And I wonder about his happiness level after he started this. My guess is that he's a lot happier. Here's a firefighter giving water to a koala bear in a forest devastated by fire. Is it? No. Just in the forest. Here's a restaurant ticket that says, "Someone once bought our dinner when we were young parents. It made quite a mark on us. The foundation of this gesture was good parenting. Keep up the good work. Time goes by so fast." So somebody paid for the restaurant bill of a family. My wife and 1-year-old and my 1-year-old and I went to dinner, and this is what it said on our check. Random acts of kindness. Here's a picture, 4 pictures of a man who is apparently on sort of a cart dragging himself through the street, and it's pouring rain. And there's a lady who runs over with an umbrella and helps him go down the street. And she is now soaked. I hope this can help ease your day and ticket. Sorry I didn't have enough to cover all of it. Have a great day. Just a fellow student with a $5 Canadian bill for a parking ticket. I'm a mailman. I sometimes drop these little notes into random people's mailboxes. "Hi, remember that you are a beautiful human being and you can achieve anything you want. Have an awesome day." Here's a picture of a general and the protesters. During a protest in Brazil, a general said, "Do not fight, please, not on my birthday." Then a group of protesters made a surprise for him and brought him a cake. This is kind of weird. You know, they're protesting against him, and he says, "Please, don't fight today," and then they bring him a cake. And then here's the result of the general weeping. It's really true, Teresa. When you show kindness and dispense love from within, you just become happier. I don't know anybody. I saw the people who came back from Uganda on Thursday. They were like beaming. They're so tired from jet lag, but beaming. Like, "Wow, you look so happy." And I saw some today too. What happens when you give of yourself? When you share love with one another in a community, what happens? That's just a natural byproduct. And we can rejoice in the Lord now. Because there's this happiness. We're fulfilled in life. I know not everything is perfect, but I'm happy. Life is good. God loves me, and I have people that love me. Be happy, my friends. And God will be happy also. Amen.